I'm delighted now to welcome back to the program Elena Zachary and Nicholas Ballas. They are doing a reading of a play called I Take Your Hand in Mine this Sunday, the 5th of June at Collected Works Bookstore at 3 in the afternoon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Oh, nice to be here, Mary Charlotte.
Lovely to be here.
Always.
Thanks.
It's now, is this a play or is it meant to be a reading, the kind of reading that you're doing?
It's a play.
It is. So mm-hmm. you can, you, this can be fully staged.
Some call it a spear, some call it an arrow. No, my understanding is it is meant to be a play. We are doing it as a reading, and it conforms because it's another epistolary project, you might say.
So which you have been doing a whole series,
a whole series
of at
Collected
Works Bookstore. Indeed. So these are plays that two people can read, we the audience sit there basically watching you reading, listening, and it is quite amazing how gripping it is and how visual it is because the visuals are in the imagination of the people who are listening.
Oh, good. I'm glad you got that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So the play is about the playwright Anton Chekhov and his wife, Olga Knippe, who is a German actress who played, who starred in these Chekhov plays in Moscow. And they were together for a fairly short time mm-hmm. because Chekhov died young, mm-hmm. but they lived lifetimes worth of love, passion, art, togetherness, apartness.
Lots of apartness.
Right.
Lots of apartness, which is why there's so many letters.
Right. And a lot of drama and a lot of romance in writing.
Right.
If not,
if you marry
indeed.
An actress, expect drama and romance.
And if you marry
is
a writer,
true,
expect drama. Expect to be amused.
And what wonderful characters they are. They are, well, in the play, which I have to say is beautifully composed by a playwright who I guess was a translator of Russian, a scholar, mm-hmm. and took these letters and basically made fragments of them into dialogue, which is incredibly, I think, probably difficult. I did it very skillfully.
There's a lovely arc to it. Carol Rocamora is the Russian scholar who wrote this play, and she was encouraged by no one less than Olympia Dukakis, whom we know from Moonstruck, among other things. Mm-hmm. I knew her as an actress in the city, and also her husband, Louis Zorich. So they inspired her to do this, and Carol Rocamora translated freshly these letters and then created this wonderful play based upon the true relationship. And I wanted to add Olga Knippe, whom I did not know until I'd read the play, was the star of the Moscow Art Theater. She was a huge, huge star before Chekhov ever entered the scene, though she was already starring in his plays but had not met him, mm-hmm. and plays by Gorky and others. So she was already as successful in her milieu as Chekhov was in his.
Right, right. And I think she saw the writing on the wall.
No pun intended.
But that this was really the where she wanted to hitch her wagon.
He was also so attractive.
Well, that too, but you can't see that on this radio thing, so we won't talk about that.
All right.
trust
radio
me.
Radio is theater of the imagination,
listeners.
You know that.
Well, and so is this play.
Right. Uh-huh.
Right.
Now, drama takes place around the very beginning of the 20th century, mm-hmm. and he is away from Moscow, particularly during the winter, because of his health.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he had tuberculosis, and he ended up dying of tuberculosis emphysema. He was a doctor, too, so he was in this whole process of kind of trying to self-heal, but with not much success, and there wasn't sufficient there weren't sufficient drugs to treat him and to keep him alive. So basically it was a kind of foregone conclusion that I think he was constantly aware of, and I think that added to the passion of not only his writing but his relationship with Olga.
No time to waste.
That's right. That's right, yeah.
And meanwhile, they couldn't be in Moscow. He couldn't be in Moscow because he was sick, and she couldn't be with him in Yalta.
That's exactly
because
right.
She was playing seven nights a week mm-hmm. and living this incredibly intense life, both of theater and of champagne and caviar in restaurants and basically being a superstar.
La 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 la.
And what is it that attracted you to this role?
It was the passion, the relationship.
Yes,
and also the wonderful the sadness of it, you know, it was piquant because they had to bring everything to bear in such a short time. And she consistently through the play says to him, I'm going to give up theater. Should I give up theater? I should have given up theater. Well, would she ever have? She wouldn't have been who she was if she hadn't been an actor.
Right, absolutely. I mean, they learned a tremendous amount from each other. I think he learned about the internal process of the theater from her. I think what attracted him was her raw emotions, because he was an intellectual. He worked. Mm-hmm. He was a craftsman. He worked very, very carefully on his plays. He worked them and then overworked them and then did them again until they came out absolutely perfect in his own heart and mind.
Chekhov is the standard to me of all that is pure about theater, for that very, very reason.
Of the writing of it, but as I was, the point I'm trying to make is that he was deeply attracted to her, I believe, because of her raw power of emotion, and that may have been something that he didn't have. I mean, he was writing short stories, which were fascinating short stories. They were award-winning short stories. They were highly recognized. But to write drama, to write something that can live on stage, I think he needed her deeply.
They each had something that the other
lacked. Symbiotic. It was brilliant. It was symbiotic. Yeah, right, right.
I was a student in college for all of this, Chekhov was the standard by which all things were measured that were true. You would say that anything that happened in a Chekhov play was deeply, deeply important. If it was a chair falling over, and never a word was wasted. Mm-hmm. So whenever I have taught, and I in my audition classes and my acting classes, you learn from Chekhov respect for the word, that every word was crafted, even though they're English translations, and you must respect that. And I think all playwrights deserve that respect.
Sure. Well, the ones that are deserving.
Well,
some of them.
I mean, like to have a more innocent approach.
Well, that kind of. I mean, there's so many different kinds of, and this is true for literature as well. There's people who write sprawling passages of prose or drama, and then there's some who, for as you say, there's a kind of distillation where every word is so carefully chosen. Mm-hmm. And this play. Now we don't hear. Chekhov's. Well, we hear a little bit of the,
we do,
the
there
words
are little
from his
play, Seagull and Three Sisters and Cherry
quotes.
Orchard Two, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But
mm-hmm.
we hear mostly the words from their letters.
Mostly the letters, right?
Do you want to read just a little, a little fragment,
a little soupçon?
Sure.
We're talking about the play "I Take Your Hand in Mine" that's being performed this Sunday at Collected Works Bookstore. You're going to read a section from. Kind of the
very
toward,
early
toward
on
the beginning.
Very early on.
Early
yes.
on as they were just meeting and getting to know each other.
That first letter, the first of so many.
I take your hand in mine, dear actress.
At the time he was building his house in Yalta. His doctors were banishing him to the south, and he had to leave his beloved Melikovo. The consumption was progressing.
She was rehearsing in Moscow. I journeyed south to Yalta on the train.
You've only been gone 4 days, and already I need to write you. I know it's too soon, but I can't help myself. Saturday evening, my favorite. The sound of the church bells is so peaceful.
Oh, you sentimental German, you.
I was so sad at the station when you left. I felt like crying all the way home. Your sister was here yesterday. How nice of her.
Checking up on you.
How was the journey?
Fine, fine. My companion let me take the lower berth. I ate everything in the basket. No boiling water on the train for tea, though. Arrived at my house in Yalta last evening. It's so quiet here. I sat indoors, thinking of you. My dear, dear actress. If only you knew what pleasure your letters give me. I bow low before you. Very low. So low, in fact, that my brow touches the bottom of a well 8 fathoms deep.
Thanks for the photographs and the sweets and for your letters, too. I was so distraught, I thought you didn't want to write to me. This morning, we rehearsed Uncle Vanya. Tonight, I play Arkadin on the Seagull. Stanislavski can't come to Vanya rehearsals. He's directing Ivan the Terrible. How is he going to play Ostrov if he's not at rehearsal?
Good luck. He's not a bad director, but he's a terrible actor.
We love that that the beloved Stanislavski, teacher to many of us, takes a lot of hits in this play.
Now we can be catty about Stanislavski.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, all of these, you know, we tend to think of the history of art, the history of drama, of literature as kind of lives of the saints, and in fact they were all flawed.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't answer many of his questions, but rather goes on about, I played until 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I went to sleep, and then I got up at 3 o'clock and had eggs and champagne and came to the theater where there were buckets and buckets of flowers, and how are you? You know, mm-hmm. She really thrived in that voluptuous, privileged. I mean, she was the star in the Moscow Art Theater. She was it.
Which is not to say she didn't treat Chekhov well, because at least from these letters, it seemed that she did.
Oh, they were deeply devoted. Deeply, deeply devoted. And I think they found a way to get into each other's hearts in a really miraculous way, that they were necessary to each other.
I have to say, and the reason, ladies and gentlemen in Radio Land, that you're not hearing dishes clanking in the background is because I'm not at the Santa Fe Baking Company. I've recorded this a day in advance, and I'm at the rehearsal space having just seen the rehearsal. And I have to say, and this happens a lot for readings, I don't know if it's because I'm a radio person, but I love that we don't see the drama, mm-hmm. that we create it in our minds. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of play that I think is kind of better this way, because otherwise you'd have to have some kind of split screen or something with her in Moscow and him in Yalta and all that
right,
kind of stuff.
Right. I think it really focuses on the word. And the words
yes.
are so carefully chosen. I think the playwright did a brilliant job of picking specific passages which have a lot of import and a lot of juiciness in the word. And not having a fully staged, fully realized situation forces the audience to listen very carefully. Mm-hmm. And as he said, radio does the same thing, but in this case, here you are, and you're able to suspend disbelief and to just hear what the heart, what words the heart mm-hmm. is given.
And then we get to juice them up because we're actors.
Yeah, we do.
Well, and when I was thinking about the, when an actor has to play a role, let's say you have to be a dock worker or an archaeologist, that's not something you know, but being writers and actors, you know this, and so there must be a kind of familiarity.
I didn't think of that.
Oh.
She's right. I guess it's obvious.
Pretty much, it's there.
Oh, wow.
The play is called I Take Your Hand in Mine, Elena Zachary and Nicholas Ballas. Once again, they will be doing a reading of this play. It's a series of these two-hander play readings at Collected Works Bookstore, and it will be this Sunday, the 5th of June, at 3 in the afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio
Charlotte.
Cafe.
It's our pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mary Charlotte.